Brother Robert, I want you to sing that for invitation. My, my, my. Genesis chapter 45. Genesis 45. There's a lot of types in the Bible. When you start looking and reading the Bible, there's a lot of things in the Bible that point to heaven. There's a lot of things in the Bible that point to Jesus. And when we read the Bible, and we find in Joseph in the book of Genesis is a type of Jesus in the Bible. And I'll give you to... don't have time to go through all the typology that Joseph and Jesus has in common. But after I read the scripture, I'll give you just a few, and then we'll get into the message. Genesis chapter 45, verse 1. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. And he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years, in which there shall need or harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord over all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Hasten ye, go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt not be near, and thou shalt be near to me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. Lord, and I ask your hand to be upon us right now, God. God, I pray, God, you would move in the service. I pray, God, you would touch hearts, God. Help folks today to realize a need to be saved. God, help folks today to realize a need to come to this altar, God. And help us right now, Lord, as we try to preach this, to be make the preaching easy. God, get me out of the way. Lord, ain't about me. Help us to lift up Jesus today, and we'll praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Joseph as a type of Jesus. Now just listen to these as I run through these real quickly. Miraculous birth was by both of them. Jacob was born. Jacob was 90 years old. Rachel was barren. Mary was a virgin. Amen. They spoke the truth, exposing sinful behavior of others, knowing that they would be hated. The Bible tells us that both of them were shepherds. Joseph was a shepherd. Jesus is the chief shepherd. Amen. That both were hated by their brethren without a cause. Both were persecuted out of jealousy. Both suffered bitterly at the hands of their brethren. Both were stripped of their garments. Joseph was stripped of his robe. It was dipped in blood. Jesus was stripped of all his clothes when he was hung on the cross. Judah offered to sell Joseph for 20 pieces of silver. Judah in the Greek is Judas, who sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. They were both sold for the price of a slave at that time. Both were tempted without sinning. Amen. Amen. We know that Joseph was tempted in Potiphar's house. When you read that, both were falsely accused. The Bible, amazing grace was given to the wicked. Joseph returned his brother's food for money. Jesus gave grace to everybody else. Glory to God. Amen. Both forgive those who wronged them.
Amen.
Joseph was a savior to his people. Jesus saved the whole world.
Amen.
Amen. So Jesus and Joseph is a type of typology. So I want to let's look at this chapter, and it amazes me. I always start off the first of the year reading in Genesis, and it amazes me. You're going to find out that and most time in January, February, March, I'm preaching out of the front of the Bible, because that's where my Bible reading is. But Joseph as a type of Jesus. Now listen. His brethren here, Jackie, had to come before him. And if you go back and study the last few chapters before we get here, Brother Tommy, we find out that Joseph has gone through Potiphar's house. He's put in prison. He interprets the dream. Pharaoh sets him second in command over all of Egypt. There ain't nothing that Joseph ain't. The only thing that Joseph can't touch is the throne. He's over everything else. The Bible says there's a famine in the land. Joseph is laying up the food to prepare for this famine. His father hears that there is corn and there's food in Egypt. So he sends his brethren to Egypt to try to get food so that the family don't die. His brethren come into Egypt, and time they come before Joseph, Joseph recognized all of them. If we'll be honest, we'd have probably had them killed at that point. But Joseph didn't. He gives them what they need. He sends them back to their father. They come back before. So they've come before Joseph several times. And now they're before Joseph. Joseph can't take it anymore. And he reveals himself to them. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, if you miss this, you're going to miss this whole sermon. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Every one of us in here, saved or lost, are going to stand before God. And when I say stand before God, that means Jesus. Hopefully you're here today and you're saved. So really, Brother Tommy, this message is going to be to the saved person, to the church, more than to the lost. But I'm telling you here, just like Brother Robert said, if you're here today and you're not saved, you can be saved today. Your name can be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You don't have to go to hell. Jesus made a way. Amen. We could stop right there, call for the invitation, and you could be saved today. But thinking about standing before Jesus and his brothers standing before Joseph as far as the judgment seat, they were troubled at his presence. Verse 3 of what I read to you, the last part says that they were troubled at his presence. He reveals himself to them. We think we know Jesus. We come in and we worship Jesus. We come in and we praise and glorify him and give him honor. But understand, they were troubled at his presence. That word trouble there means to tremble inward or to be affrighted or to be dismayed. Now, I want you to stop just a minute and think about standing before Jesus Christ. Oh, we had this thing going several years ago in the church about, people would say, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. I'm prepared to go. I'm prepared. Melvin, if something happens to me, I'm going to heaven. There ain't a doubt in my mind about that. But I'm telling you right now, when you get to think about standing before Jesus, every one of us are going to be troubled at his presence. Can you imagine standing in line and you're at the judgment seat? And we have to think about this to our earthly minds because our little feeble brains cannot comprehend what I'm preaching today. Can you imagine standing at the judgment seat of Christ and you're getting ready to come before him? The ones in front of you, Brother Skip, he's telling them everything they ever did. Their life had been laid out like an open book. There ain't nothing that they can hide. You're standing before the one that knows you better than anybody else knows you. He knows you more. He knows more about you than you know about yourself. And now you're getting ready to stand before him. They were troubled at his presence. Now, when we start talking about the judgment seat of Christ, some people have put it like this. Somebody said it's going to reveal all of our character. It's going to reveal, we know from studying the Bible, Acts chapter 25, verses 6, 10, and 17, talks about how that they would stand. It was a public forum. It was an open court. Think about that. It's also, if you studied out, a rewards platform. It's where the judgment will be put out for sports facilities, just like the Olympic runners. When they would do their run, they would be judged. The first place, second place, third place. That's what this is called. But it's also a place in the Bible where litigants stood to be tried. It's the judgment seat. You got to understand something. We're going to stand before God. Joseph, now think about this. When Joseph's brothers stood before him, they immediately, when he revealed himself to him, they knew who he was. Imagine this. Can't you imagine them talking, one looking at the other, He remembers us throwing him in that pit. He remembers what we did to him. How's it going to be when you stand before God and he remembers everything you did to him or everything you didn't do to him? I'm going to be terrified at his presence.
Amen.
Let me tell you, I'm terrified at his presence right now. I'm telling you right now, I'm one of them that I just can't help it. I come into God's house. At the back door, I take off my hat because this is God's house. I come into God's house. I don't act like I do at my house because this is God's house. I come into God's house. I dress a little differently. I act a little differently. I don't say some of the stupid stuff in this building that I might say at my house because I am terrified at his presence. I am troubled at his presence. This is his place. That's the problem anymore in America and in the world. We don't have no fear of God. But the Bible says they were troubled at his presence. Also, I believe they trembled at his power. Joseph held their life in his hands. All it would have took, Brother Jerry would say, bring in the spears, kill every one of them. He had that authority. He had the right. Here's the thing. He had the right to kill them. David did a great job in Sunday school this morning. If you ain't coming to Sunday school, there's something wrong with you. Amen. We need to come to Sunday school. I mean, Sunday school is where I figure out I ain't supposed to slap people. Amen. Some of y'all need to come to Sunday school so you can realize you ain't supposed to slap people. But he had the right, David. He had the right to kill them for what they had done to him. They kidnapped him. They took his coat off of him, dipped his coat in blood, sent it back to their daddy, and said, some evil beast has killed our brother. They threw him in a pit, and then when a caravan came by, they sold him into slavery. I'm just going to go ahead and tell y'all right now, I'd have had to ask for forgiveness. I'd have killed everybody. But you see, that's why there ain't no typology in the Bible of Jesus and Tim Larimore. And Jesus and Ralph Sullivan and Skip Harkey. That's why you only find typology in the Bible of people that was like Jesus. When people, and think about this. Man, I was studying this, Brother Tony, and this blew my mind. When people stand, and I was a police officer. I've stood before judges. I've stood before federal judges. I've stood before municipal judges. I've stood before magistrates. And everybody that's tried now, if you're tried for murder, the one that you killed ain't judging you. If you're tried for stealing, most times the one that you stole from ain't judging you. This is going to be different. The one that's judging you is the same one that you hurt. The one that's judging you is the same one that you've wronged. They were standing before a judge that knew everything about them. There was no hiding it no more. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Amen. They were troubled at his power. The Bible says in Luke chapter 12, verse 5, but I will forewarn you, to whom shall ye fear? Fear him which hath the power to kill and also had the power to cast into hell. That's the one we are to fear. I understand something. They trembled at his power, but then they were touched by his pronouncement. I think we ought to fear God. I think we ought to be in awe of God. I think we ought to reverence God. Amen. Amen. But look at what verse 5 said. Now therefore be ye not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Amen. Instead of anger and instead of wrath, they got love. Did you hear what I said? Instead of anger and wrath and getting what they deserved, they got loved. At the judgment seat of Christ, you listen to me, at the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to be amazed. I believe we'll stand there terrified. The Bible says we're going to be judged on everything we've done. But imagine, Brother Tony, he's going to look down and say, I forgive you. Wow. Riley, pull up that picture I asked you about. killed a lot. So I want everybody to get a picture of this. This is from the movie The Passion. Now, this can't really tell a picture because it was a lot worse than this. But you do realize if he loved you that much to wear those crown of thorns, how much does he love you now? If he loved you that much to be beaten in the face and all of his beard plucked out, how much does he love you now? If he loved you that much to take the whooping and take the cat of nine tails and be beaten and his whole body to be a bloody pulp, if he loved you that much, how much does he love you now? How much does he love you now? He took that cross. He bore it on his back. He carried it all the way up Golgotha's hill. Look what, and that's like, that's just a picture. But if he loved you that much, how much does he love you now? They were faced. They deserved wrath. They deserved death. But look what they got. They got mercy and grace. And I'm telling you right now, you deserved that. You deserved a crown of thorns. You deserved to be beat with a cat of nine tails. You deserved to be killed and crucified on that cross. But no, he said, I'll take your place because I love you. And if I love you, I'll still be there for you. And if I love you, I'll forgive you. Some of you Christians need to understand something. You've got forgiveness this morning. Hey, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If he loved you that much, how much does he love you now? Luke chapter 23 verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them. If he loved you that much, how much does he love you now? Instead of being death pronounced on them, Brother Melvin, instead of getting what they deserved, Joseph forgave Sarge. He said, and y'all ain't going to have to worry about nothing else ever again. He said, just go on and get everything you got and bring it back to me. And I'm going to put you in a place.
Wow. Come on. Amen.
Great.
How could he love us that much? Knowing. I'm talking about knowing what we did. He knew what you were going to do before you did it and still went to the cross. He knew every thought you were going to ever have and loved you enough and still went to the cross. But they were taken back by his provisions. They came begging for food and they got a kingdom. I'm going to be honest with you, and I've said this many, many times, Kevin. When I went down to that altar, all I had on my mind was not going to hell.
Amen.
That was my whole goal, not going to hell. And if that would have been it, if he'd have never done anything else for me, that would have been enough right there that I didn't have to spend eternity in an awful, awful place called hell. But glory to God, not only did he save me, hey, not only did he reached me down, and like some of them said, hey, he reached way down. He reached way down in the mud, Brother Tommy, pulled you up, set your feet on a solid rock, wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, but he loved you enough that he said, I'm not only going to save you, I'm not only going to save you from hell, but I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you a good wife. I'm going to give you a good family. I'm going to give you a good job. I'm going to give you a good house. I'm going to give you a good church family. I'm going to be there for you when everybody else walks out on you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He loved you that much. There were times when Joseph's dad died, his brother said, surely he's going to turn against us now. Oh, boy, daddy was the only thing keeping him off of us. And he reassured him one more time, I'm still here for you. How many times has Jesus had to come down and reassure you, I'm still here for you? Folks, we're going to stand before him. And I'm just in my little pea brain, Benji, in my little pea brain, I feel in my heart, you know, and I know when we stand before him, we're going to have a glorified body, we'll have a glorified mind. I understand all that, but in my little pea brain, I'm still terrified at his presence. But I'm taken back by his provisions. It's hard to imagine somebody loving me that much. I know my wife loves me. I know my kids love me. And I know I love them. But ain't nobody ever loved you like Jesus loved you. He went to that cross and died so that you don't have to die and go to hell. Don't you want to stand before him when he says, enter in, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Brother Robert, come on back. I want you to bow your heads with me. Maybe you're here this morning. You're a Christian.